And at this time, Clarice Cheney will introduce our Lenten Mass.
Our Lenten Mass this morning focuses on the cross. The cross is a signal symbol in many religious traditions. For the Christian church, the cross is the principal symbol, representing Jesus' crucifixion and the redemptive power of his passion and death. Mary, the mother of Jesus, wept at the cross during his crucifixion. Today, people worldwide weep at the cross and humbly look to the cross as a symbol of hope, reconciliation, and love. The featured musical selection this morning is Look to the Cross by Ruth Elaine Schramm. The anthem incorporates the treasured hymn, My Faith Looks Up to Thee. Schramm is a composer and arranger living in Birmingham, Alabama. She has more than 2,000 published works. Let us listen to the reading of the Holy Scripture, followed by Jubilate leading us in singing selected hymns focusing on the cross, and then the featured anthem, Look to the Cross.
Our reading today is from Psalm 55, verses 5 through 8, and then John from the Gospel, chapter 11, verses 32 through 36. Let us listen to the word of God. From the Psalms, fear and trembling come upon me, and horror overwhelms me, and I say, oh, that I had wings like a dove. I would fly away and be at rest. Truly, I would flee far away. I would lodge in the wilderness, Selah. I would hurry to find a shelter for myself from the raging wind and tempest. And then from John. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her were also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, see how he loved him. Hear what the Spirit is saying. Thanks be to God.
My special thanks to Jubilate for special music for this Lenten season and to prepare us for the coming of Holy Week and Good Friday. Would you bow your heads with me and be aware of the people sitting around you? We want to be the kind of congregation where anyone comes through the door has a sense that they are being prayed for personally. And so we want to develop this spirit of being aware of the people around us and to pray for them and then to be open for what the Spirit might speak into our lives in response to that person. There have been people who have come through these doors and someone has experienced a sense of being led to talk to them and they found a person in crisis for whom that conversation may have been life-saving. And so we want this to be a habit. That we pray for those other people around us and that we're aware during the service of the people around us, that we're aware of the surrounding presence of God, the presence of others, and that we keep each other in prayer. So take a moment now to pray for the person sitting to your left and the person sitting to your right and those in front and in back of you. And be attentive to what God might speak into your life as you greet one another following worship. Be sure to greet the people surrounding you following worship this morning. Amen. So scientists tell us there are three kinds of tears. There are the tears that are always in our eyes unless we have a medical condition. And these are called basal tears or basic tears. They keep our eyes moist. They keep our eyelids from sticking to our eyes. We always have tears in our eyes. The second kind of tears are called reflexive tears. These are the tears that are a reflexive response to some external stimulation. When we are peeling onions, it is reflective tears that we cry. Or if we're walking in a heavy wind and discover ourselves tearing. The third kind of tears are emotional tears that come to us when we are feeling intense emotions, whether sad or joyful or somewhere in between or all mixed up together. Scientists have actually discovered that the chemical composition of emotional tears is different from basal and reflexive tears. Emotional tears include chemicals that the other tears don't. Some of the chemicals are actually stress reducer chemicals. Others are natural sedatives and pain reducers. Scientists are not fully sure, because this is a hard thing to study, but it may even be possible that different emotions bring tears to our eyes with different chemical makeups to respond to whatever the intense emotion is that is causing us to cry. We're talking during Lent this year about ordinary, everyday aspects of life that are sacramental. They're like sacraments. The United Methodist Church has two official legal sacraments. They're baptism, a sacrament of washing, and communion, a sacrament of eating and drinking in community with others. But there's actually many aspects of our everyday life, like washing and eating, that are like sacraments. They're sacramental. They are signs of God's grace. When we experience them, it is a sign of God's grace and presence with us and inclusion. And they are also what John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist movement, called vehicles of grace. They are actually the way God's grace rides into our lives. They're vehicles or means of grace. God's grace comes to us through them. And we think about a lot of religious activities that we do as means of grace, prayer, reading scripture, they're all means of grace. But there are also ordinary aspects of life, everyday life, through which God acts to show us God's grace toward us and through which God comes into our life. God's grace comes into our life. And so this Lent, we've been talking about some of the different ordinary parts of life that can become spiritual experiences if we receive them as signs and vehicles of God's grace and offer them up to God. So we've talked about breathing as a vehicle of God's grace, that every time we take a breath, God's life comes into us. God's spirit comes into us. We've talked about sleeping, one of my favorite means of grace and vehicles of grace, that if we offer our rest, our sleep at night, to God, God will heal us and renew us through the sacramental activity of grace. We talked about bathing last Sunday, washing, ordinary parts of our daily lives that become signs and vehicles of God's grace. As we prepare for Holy Week and Good Friday, we want to say a word this morning about tears as a sign and means of grace. I know that crying is a very personal thing. Not all of us cry. I've talked to people over the years, as a minister, who have gone through a great grief and they've worried that there's something wrong with them spiritually because they don't cry in the midst of grief. Listen, we all react differently. And I've also known folk for whom constant crying was a sign that there was a need for medical attention. This is all very personal. This is all very individual. So I don't want anyone to feel judged because we have a hard time crying or because we feel like we cry too much. We all need to work it out. All I want to say this morning is that our tears can be a vehicle for the grace of God to come into our lives. It is possible for our tears to be a means of God's grace. Jesus wept. The Gospel of John tells us that Jesus cried. John 11:35 says that Jesus began to weep. Now, I've never been totally clear about the reasons for Jesus crying, for Jesus' tears. The story is this in the Gospel of John. Jesus had three very close friends in whose home he stayed whenever he was in the town of Bethany. The close friends were two sisters, Mary and Martha, and their brother Lazarus. So one day, Jesus is out teaching and preaching, and news comes to him that his friend Lazarus is fatally ill. The disciples tell Jesus that they have to go to Lazarus immediately. Jesus continues teaching a few more days. By the time Jesus gets to Bethany, where Mary, Martha, and Lazarus live, Lazarus has already died. Now, from our perspective, the next thing that happens is that Lazarus's sister Mary guilt trips Jesus. She says to Jesus, "If you had been here, your friend Lazarus would not have died." And Mary begins to weep. And then, according to the Gospel of John, Jesus weeps. And after he weeps, he raises Lazarus from the dead in a resurrection. So, the question I've struggled with for almost my entire ministry, every time I've looked at this passage, is why did Jesus weep? What were Jesus' tears about? If he knew, as he suggested to his disciples, that he would raise Lazarus from the dead, and there would be a happy ending to the story, why did Jesus cry? Scholars speculate. Some believe that the death of Lazarus and the tears of Jesus are the kernel of the story. That what factually happened was that Jesus' friend Lazarus died, and at the grave, Jesus cried. And then that after Jesus' death and resurrection, as his story was told, the early church, to emphasize the power of Jesus Christ, added the story of Lazarus' resurrection, because the Bible, the Gospels, are not reports from the Washington Post. They are theological narratives meant to express the faith of the early church. So one explanation is that the core of this story, what actually happened, is that Jesus' closest friend died, and he cried. That's what some scholars suggest. Other scholars suggest that Jesus' tears were actually tears of frustration and disappointment. That everybody around him misunderstood him and did not understand who he was and the power that existed within his presence and life. Even his dear friend Mary did not understand who he was, and that he was stronger than death. So some scholars suggest that Jesus wept because of our disbelief in him. Still, other scholars believe that Jesus wept because in the death of Lazarus, he anticipated his own death on the cross, and that he was crying in anticipation of having to die at 32 or 33 or 34 years of age on the cross. So for years, I struggled with this because I want every story in the Bible to make sense. I want every story, every line of the Bible to be crystal clear so that I can understand it with perfect clarity. I don't want any ambiguity in my Bible. So I've struggled with this text again and again to try to figure out in the context of the story, what were Jesus' tears about? And as I struggled with this text again this week, it occurred to me that maybe it is not supposed to make sense. Because tears are not about making sense. Tears are about when we do not have adequate words or adequate understanding. Tears are about when we are not feeling competent to manage our lives. When we don't know what to do. When we are not in control. Tears are our body's response to something inside of us, grief, joy, fear, anger, love, whatever it is, that we cannot simply think our way through. We can only let our body respond with the medicine of tears. Tears are a means of grace because they heal. And they are a sign of grace because they are a sign of the spiritual healing that happens inside of us all the time, every day. Our spirit is always being healed. God is always medicating our souls. The prophet Jeremiah says, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no medicine? Is there no physician there? And then the spiritual that emerged from American slaves answers, there is a balm in Gilead to make the wounded whole. There is medicine that heals our wounded spirits, moment by moment, hour by hour, and day by day. God is always healing us beyond our understanding and comprehension. I've been thinking about a couple of people this week. One is a friend who I was in a small group with for about 6 or 7 years, another pastor. And after our small group meetings, he and I would sometimes talk, and he'd talk to me about his daughter, who, from being a very young teenager, had been struggling with addiction. He talked about his inability to comprehend it. He talked about all of the programs and rehabs and therapies that they had been through with her. He talked about his frustration of nothing seeming to help. So this past week, Craig's 19-year-old daughter died of an overdose. There's no medicine for that. There's no help for that. There's no balm for that other than the tears and the spiritual healing that those tears signify. No way to understand, no way to be competent, nothing to do but to surrender to the healing that we can't do for ourselves, but needs to come to us from the great physician. The other people I've been thinking about are a couple who were planning their wedding. They had been together for a number of years, from before the time that it was possible for them to be married. They send out their invitations to their friends and families without knowing what the response of their families would be, and being pretty nervous about it. And these are two guys who are like so many of you Washingtonians. They're competent, they're in charge, they're in control of their life, they're on top of everything. So it was unusual for them to be feeling this kind of vulnerability and anxiety. But they said, as the RSVPs started coming back, from family member after family member who were choosing to come to their wedding, they could not hold back their tears. These guys who said they never cried could not hold back their tears. And I believe it was medicine to all of the pain of all of the years of being gay in a homophobic society, was being healed by those tears. Psalm 56 includes a prayer. In Psalm 56, the psalmist prays to God and says to God, "You have kept count of my tossings. You have put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your record?" Psalm 56:8. "You have kept count of my tossings at night when I could not sleep. You have put my tears in your bottle." You have kept my tears in a bottle. Are they not in your record? Are you not aware of every tear I have cried? When we cry, the psalmist says, God is there to collect our tears. God collects our tears in God's bottle, which is the psalmist's way of saying that our tears are holy. They bring us into the presence of God. And when the tear ducts in our eyes open, and the tears begin to come, then God's Spirit uses that opening to enter into us and to heal. Especially men, but increasingly more and more all of us have been taught it's not okay to cry. It's not okay to be needy. It's not okay to be weak. Candidates for public office have lost elections because they've cried in public. We're embarrassed by tears. So it's really, really important to know that Jesus, the child of God, the perfect human one, cried. He cried. And God healed him through his tears. And God invites us at times of great joy or great sorrow or anger or fear, times of great disappointment. God invites us to open our tear ducts so that God might heal our bodies and spirits. Go in peace. Have a week. May it include times of joy and openness to the griefs of the world. Amen.